Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm going to talk tonight about getting in over your head. Ezekiel chapter 47. We'll begin with verse 1. We'll continue on through verse 12. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way, out of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the outer gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which, being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engdia even unto Engleam. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river, upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this evening. This is a millennial vision. Ezekiel is envisioning a time when the Lord will bring about an absolute healing to the nation of Israel, a time when the river of God's grace and blessing will flow from his throne and will refresh the promised land. While this prophecy is for the nation of Israel and will literally be fulfilled one day, I think there is application in this passage for us this evening. And by way of introduction, allow me to share with you a personal illustration. One time when I was pretty small, we were out swimming. And there was this little dock out there, and I walked out to the edge of the dock, and somebody encouraged me to jump off. They said, don't worry, it's not very deep here. I didn't know how to swim. But it's not very deep, you can stand up and you'll be fine. So I dove off the dock, and when I stood up, to my chagrin, the waters were over my head, and I couldn't swim. And so I started to panic. And I just took off like a beeline for what I thought was the shore. I just ran. I must have been a comical sight as my nose finally got out of the water, and I was sitting there breathing, glad that I had escaped that, thought that I for sure that I was going to drown. What I learned from that experience as a young child was that you should be careful in getting into water that's over your head, especially if you can't swim. But I would like to ask you a question tonight. You don't have to answer this out loud. You don't have to raise your hands outwardly, but inwardly think tonight, could you raise your hand and tell me that beyond any shadow of doubt, you know that you are in the center of God's will and that you and God are satisfied where you are with your spiritual growth, that you know that God is pleased where that you are at in your spiritual growth, or is it possible that God wants you to grow deeper? I think most of us here tonight would probably say that we want to grow deeper, and we think that God wants us to grow deeper. The fact of the matter is that all of us have plenty of room for improvement. And so that's what the sermon is all about this evening. I hope that we can learn from it and that we can grow deeper. in our relationship with the Lord, that we can improve in our Christian life, that we could be all that God wants of us to be. This message tonight is about leaving the shoreline, about leaving the stagnant, disappointed parts of the Christian life and moving out into deep spiritual waters that God has for us. You see, what has happened in the modern church is that many have become far too cautious in giving their all to Jesus Christ. I really believe that there are many in churches who are afraid of getting in over their heads. They're afraid of such a deep spiritual walk with the Lord. And so tonight I want to take a few minutes and look at this prophecy from the book of Ezekiel. And I want us to notice three things about this prophecy that can apply to you and me this evening. And wherever you are at in your spiritual walk, my prayer is that you would wade out just a little bit deeper tonight. That you would be encouraged to go just a little bit deeper than you've ever gone before. In fact, I would challenge some of you tonight to just step in and go where the waters are over your head. Don't be afraid to get in water that is over your head. So first of all tonight, Ezekiel's vision. Notice that he saw a river. This river is a type of the Holy Spirit. And I think there are three things that would show us that this river represents the Spirit and his work in the life of the believer. First of all, if you notice this, its source, the river's source, it's from the throne of God. The Holy Spirit, like this river, comes directly from God's throne. And then you notice its course. It comes from the altar. Notice that this river came from the altar, or the place where the sacrifice was made. The water of life, the precious Holy Spirit, comes directly from the altar of Christ's cross, the place of his sacrifice. The Holy Spirit came only after the death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Realize that Jesus had to give his life on the cross. He had to leave his disciples. He had to be ascended into heaven in order for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit comes from the altar, comes from the place of sacrifice. He'll do the same in our life. He will flow through the sacrifices that we make in our life as we lay ourselves upon the cross and offer ourselves there. And then notice this river and its force. Actually, there are four great things about this river that make it very special. These four things make the Holy Spirit special as well. First of all, it had no feeder streams. There was no need for anything to flow into this river to give it force, to give it size and power. This river had enough force, it had enough size, it had enough power all on its own. When it left the throne, it possessed all that it needed. The Mississippi River is less than 3 feet wide where it begins. But after all the feeder streams flow into it, it becomes a mighty river. But God's river needs no feeder streams. The Holy Spirit does not need any feeder streams. What I mean is this, that God doesn't need anything from the world to make his power to be known. God supersedes anything that this world has to offer. He supersedes anything that you and I might have to offer. He supersedes this world, and he will get the job done in spite of the opposition of the devil, in spite of the opposition of the world, in spite of the opposition of our flesh even at times. This river needs no feeder streams. Then notice something else that's special about this river. It could heal. This river made the seawater pure when it flowed into it. The deadly effect of drinking seawater is it will kill you. This water brings healing. I'm talking to you tonight about a river that has power to heal. I'm talking to you tonight about the power of the Holy Spirit. Power to heal. Power in your life. Power in my life. Power to heal. He can heal broken hearts. He can heal broken lives. He can heal broken dreams. He can heal broken bodies. He is a spirit who flows with power. His power comes from the throne of God. He comes with power to heal. I challenge you tonight to bring everything in your life that is broken to him and let him be the healer. Let him heal by His power. Jesus can take a life broken by sin and through the working of His Spirit bring healing to that soul and glory into the heart and the life of that one who was once a slave to sin. Aren't you glad that one time you might have been a slave to sin, but you are no longer held by sin's power? Jesus Christ, through the power of His Holy Spirit, has healed you and set you free. Then another thing special about this river was that it could revive. Everything this river touched was transformed with life-giving power. Notice that verse 9 tells us twice that everything the river touches will live. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. When the Spirit of God moves into a life, there is always renewal. When God moves in, things change. People change. He can take that which was dead and He can make it alive. He can give us the water that Jesus spoke about that will spring unto us, up into us, a well of everlasting life. Like the woman at the well, Jesus said, if you drink of My water, the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. He can and will give a drink of water of life that will produce everlasting life and eternal satisfaction in the life of the believer. By the way, the Holy Spirit is what our church and every church needs in order to see revival and the power of God in its midst. Simply the Holy Spirit flowing from the throne of God, coming with the power to heal, coming with the power to transform and to change, to bring renewal. Learn to welcome Him into your life. Every opportunity, we welcome Him into our midst. And then the fourth thing that's special about this river, that's also special about the Holy Spirit, is that it could bring forth fruit and freshness. Everywhere this river flowed, fruit sprang up. So with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit becomes evident in the life of the believer. When He moves in, His presence will be manifested by fruit and freshness in the life of the believer. Now, of all these things, picture the work of the Holy Spirit and saving and using the believer for the glory of the Lord. When our eyes are open, it's easy to see where the Spirit is moving and where He's working. Then the second thing about this river, Ezekiel surrendered to the river. Not only did he see the river, but he surrendered to the river. Sadly, many hear the gospel call, and they see what the Holy Spirit is doing in the lives of others, yet that is as far as they get. They never experience the Holy Spirit for themselves. They never get in the healing water. They stand on the banks. They watch as other people get in the water. They watch as other people are healed. They watch as other people are renewed. Other people are changed. Blessing come into their life. They're becoming fruitful. And some people just stand on the sidelines, watching. Seeing the river flow, but never getting wet. See, in order for this river to do you any good, you have to get into it. You have to get in. So we saw Ezekiel's vision. Now let's see Ezekiel's venture. As the man in Ezekiel's vision measured the river, he carried Ezekiel along with him. As a result, the prophet was led into ever-deepening waters. God wants to do the same thing for you and I tonight. He wants us to go into ever-deepening waters. Notice how Ezekiel's venture speaks to us as believers this evening. First of all, the water was ankle-deep. This represents, I think, the step of faith that is required in order to be saved. Just to step in. Get that measure of faith that saves the soul. It's great to be saved, but how many of you know that being saved is not the end of things? It's just really the beginning of the experience of the born-again life. Yes, He brought us out, but He also wants to lead us on. Sadly, many people stop right here. They're satisfied with just getting in ankle deep. They're satisfied with just getting saved. But to go on any further with God, no, I don't really want to do that. There is much more to being saved than just getting saved. This is where the waiters stay. They get saved, they refuse to grow in the Lord. They're just dabblers. They spend all their time in the shallow end of the pool, afraid to wade out deeper. They miss the deeper life. These people are in total, absolute control of their lives. After all, when you are in the waiting pool, there is not much risk that you're going to drown. You are in control while you are there. Have you ever watched children play in the kiddie pool? One time we went to Wisconsin Dells and we went to stayed in a motel where there was a water park. And Sam is one where he likes, the first thing that he does is the thing that he does. That's what he likes. When he eats, he's pretty much the same way. The first thing that you give him to eat on the plate is the thing that he wants to keep eating. That's just the way he is. When we put him in this, how many of you know what a Johnny Jump Up is? You know what a Johnny Jump Up? They had one of those things in this kid pool, and we put him in there, and he just loved it. He jumped up and down all day in that pool. Just all day jumping up and down. But he was afraid to try anything else. We took him out one time and tried to put him down the slide, the kiddie slide. You know, the water wasn't deep. We held his hand. We went down with him. He didn't like that. He wanted to go back to the thing that was safe for him, the thing that he knew. And many Christians are like that. They're still in their Johnny Jump Ups. They're doing the things that are safe. There's no risk in their life. They're afraid to venture out. They're afraid to do anything else. If you watch children in the kiddie pool, I shouldn't say they look like some church members. They really don't. But they fight over things. They splash water on each other. They fight over the toys that are there. Doesn't sound like any church people, though. Some people are only ankle deep. They're satisfied with the kiddie pool. But then we go on, and Ezekiel was knee deep. Knee deep speaks of prayer. This represents a life that is learning dependence upon the Lord. This is the person who prays and trying to live their life in faith before the Lord. You know, there are some that reach this level, but some Christians don't even make it to this shallow level of maturity in the Lord. And yes, you'll remember that no person will ever stand taller than he does on his knees. But those who are on this level, they know something of the power of the river. They can still feel the river as it passes, as it rushes by them. But you know, they're still not really affected by it. Because if you wade out into the water and it only comes to your knees, you're still in control. You're still able to stand up on your feet, and you're not too far from the shoreline. It's still a pretty safe place to be. And some Christians like this because they are in control of their lives and they aren't being supported by the river. Their own two legs are still supporting them. And then we see that Ezekiel went out and the water was loin deep. The loins symbolize strength. This speaks of the spiritual power in our lives. When one has waded out waist deep into the river, more of the river and less of the man is seen. So the Christian is progressing. And more of God is being seen and less of the man is being seen. More of the Holy Spirit is being seen in the life of a believer and less of the man is being seen. When we wade out this far, we can feel the power of the river and we can see the effect that it could have on us. This level of maturity is rarely reached. But when it is, you can't hide its effect on your life. You know people that have gone out that far. They're recognizable. This is a man. This is a woman who has the Spirit of God, the power of God in their life. But as deep as this level is, it is not as deep as you can go. The few who are at this level of spiritual maturity have lost some control of themselves. They're often picked up by the river and moved a few feet at a time, but still they're close enough to the shore to stand if they need to. So they reserve some amount of control. And then number three tonight, first Ezekiel's vision, then his venture, and then his victory in verse 5. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. At this point, Ezekiel reached the place where the river was in control. It takes him where it wants him to be. He has no power over his destination. He is at the mercy of the river. This represents the highest spiritual level that any believer can reach in this life. Couldn't pass over. It just doesn't get any deeper than this. There are four reasons why. You can't ever get any deeper than this as a Christian. First of all, when you are this deep, you have gone beyond your own ability. Ezekiel was at the mercy of the river. Far too many like the safety of the shore. The person who has reached this level of spiritual maturity has moved beyond himself and has placed himself under the control and the command of God. He's lost all sight of his own will. God, it's whatever you will. And you know, it's hard to even tell what is his will and what's God's will because they're so entwined. We get to the place where God gives us the desires of our heart because every desire that we have is his desire. This is what true spiritual maturity is all about. It's coming to the end of ourselves and realizing just how big this thing really is. It's a lot bigger than us. And there's no way that we could ever do anything on our own. It's only his Spirit that works through me. We must realize as we come to the place that he is in control. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Number two, when you are this deep, you have ceased to support yourself. Ezekiel was no longer wading. These were waters to swim in. He wasn't just resting. He wasn't in charge. He gave himself over to the power of the river. Listen, this is where God wants to bring you to. This is where the Holy Spirit wants to take you. He wants us to reach the place where we learn to rest in him and allow him to support us and to carry us through this life. It is no longer you trying to run around and get things done. It will be you resting in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we watch in amazement as the Lord conducts his business as he carries us along with him. And number three, when you are this deep, you have given yourself up to the will of the river. Ezekiel was going to where the river took him. And that's how the Lord wants us to go. He wants us to lose sight of ourselves, our goals, our ambitions, our dreams. He wants us to be totally 100% surrendered to him and his will for our lives. You know what God is looking for? He's looking for surrender in you. You know, when we get to the place where we surrender, that's the victory. It's when we get to the place where we say, God, okay, I'm going in over my head. I'm just going to trust you in this thing. That's the victory, folks. Victory is not necessarily us winning the battles. Victory is God winning the battle over us. Because then he's able to do whatever he wants with us. And then number four, when you are this deep, you are just happy to be carried by the river. The will of the river becomes your will also. This is where we are all commanded to be. Basically, Ezekiel was all wet. He was in something that was way over his head. That's where God wants you. Do you know what the secret to real revival is? It's nothing more than for God's people to get to the place where they are so deep in him that they can't get any deeper. That he is the only thing that consumes their lives. It isn't for the ankle-deep crowd. Those knee-deep folks will get a ripple every now and then. Even those who are out there to their loins won't feel the force of God's power like they should. It's only when we throw ourselves on the mercy of the river and allow the Spirit of God to have the absolute right of way in our lives that we can experience true and genuine revival. Now, I want you to notice two things from this passage that are so deep and profound that we might have missed them. First of all, I want you to notice the statement in verses 3 and 4. Actually, it's in verse 4. Toward the end of that verse, he brought me through the waters. Some of you might be holding back on your commitment, on total commitment to the Lord this evening because you are afraid that if you give yourself wholly to the Lord, he's going to let you drown. If I give the Lord complete control of my life, who knows what he's going to do? He might drown me. God will never let you drown. God will never let you down. Some of his saints walked through some mighty deep rivers over the centuries, and God brought them all out. There was Job. Job went through some very deep waters. The trials that he experienced were tremendous trials, but God brought him through. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They went through a deep trial, facing the fiery furnace. God brought them through. How about Daniel? He's thrown into the lion's den. These were hungry lions. God brought Daniel out of the lion's den. How about the disciples? First of all, they were given the command to feed 5,000 to 6,000, probably more people, 5,000 men besides women and children. You give them to eat, Jesus said. Where are we going to buy bread that we could feed so many? They saw the miracle hand of God as he fed the multitude and he broke the loaves and the fishes. Just after that, then, they had to get out on the sea where a storm arose. They were fearful for their lives. They thought they were going to drown. Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. How could he sleep at such a time like that? So they woke him up. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. And he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and immediately there was a calm. The disciples thought they were going to drown. They thought they were going to perish. They didn't. The Lord protected them. My friend, what the Lord did for them, he will do for you also. I would like you to notice Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. So I want you to notice tonight, first of all, that he'll bring you out. Second truth that's easy to overlook in this passage, because it's not clearly spelled out, is this. The deeper you go, the harder it is to jump out. When you're in the kiddie pool, it's easy to get out. You can jump out whenever you feel like it. When you are knee deep, loin deep, it's still just a short walk back to the safety of the bank. However, when you have placed yourself at the mercy of the river, it's a whole lot harder to get back out again. What I'm saying to you is this: an ever-deepening spiritual life is a hedge against failure. Get in as deep as you can. How deep are you this evening? Are you still in the shallows? If so, wait on out, because the water's fine. Besides, you can't do the backstroke in the kiddie pool. You've got to get out there pretty deep, where your feet no longer touch the bottom. So what are you going to do? I don't think there's anybody here tonight that has not gotten into the water. Perchance if there is, I want to challenge you to get in the water. Don't just watch the river flow by. Don't just watch other people getting healed and blessed. You get in the water yourself and then begin to wade out. Make tonight your night to give it all to Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm willing to get in over my head. Your Spirit carry me wherever he wants to take me. I'm willing to give you my all tonight and just trust you. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? You know the probing question. How deep? How deep are you? Ankle deep, knee deep, loin deep, or totally surrendered over your head to the mercy of the river? It might be hard to answer that question yourself. Just exactly how deep am I? And so I would challenge you tonight to just pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you show me how deep I am? Show me the truth tonight, just how deep I really am. Just take a couple of moments. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. How many here tonight, by a raised hand in just a moment, don't raise it yet, but you know that you could still go deeper. You know there's room for improvement in your Christian life. And you sense that the Lord is telling you today, this evening, wade out deeper. Don't be afraid. I'll bring you out. I'll bring you through it. But I'm calling you to a deeper life. How many sense that call tonight? You know there's room for improvement. Could we see your hand? Amen. Mine's up with you tonight. Heavenly Father, we just invite the Holy Spirit here this evening. We invite the Holy Spirit, that forceful river that flows from your throne, to sweep over us this evening. Lord, as we all wade out different places, different levels of maturity in our Christian life, by faith tonight, we wade out deeper. We're trusting you a little bit more. Lord, be with us. Bring us through. But more importantly, may our will become lost in yours. And may we see your power. And may we see ourselves carried away by your Spirit, enjoying the victory and the power of the Spirit in our lives, accomplishing those things that we have the privilege of being a part of. So tonight again, Lord, take us all deeper. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Launch out into the deep. Oh, let the shoreline go. Launch out. Out in the ocean divine, out where the full tides flow. Let's stand. You all know it now. You sing it once, you got it. It's a catchy tune. Launch out into the deep. Oh, let the shoreline go. Launch out in the ocean divine, out where the full. One more time. Launch out into the deep. Oh, let the shoreline go. Launch out in the ocean divine. Out where the full tides flow. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Prayer that God loves to answer. He'll answer that prayer for you. He'll take you deeper, let you fly higher than ever before. Praise the Lord.